the foundation of entrepreneurship, committed to growing economies and expanding human welfare, on the web at kauffman.org.
News from NPR is made possible by a grant from Champaign-Danville Overhead Doors, offering pinch-proof doors, keyless digital entries, and lifetime manufacturer's warranties. Champaign-Danville Overhead Doors, serving businesses and families with professionally installed doors and automatic openers since 1959 in Ogden, Illinois. Today's broadcast is made possible with support from Lincoln Square Village in Urbana, the same square with a new angle. Now with shops, offices, activity, and dining facilities, including Art Mart and Art Mart Toys, featuring food, toys, personal care, and lifestyle products.
This is the Afternoon Magazine on AM 580 and 90.9 FM HD2. You'll also find us online at will.illinois.edu. Good afternoon. I'm Celeste Quinn. Our technical director today is Jason Croft. The producer for the Afternoon Magazine is Harriet Williamson. It is day two of the impeachment trial of Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich in the Illinois Senate. The Senate recessed shortly before noon. The chamber is due back at 1:15. And we will rejoin Illinois Public Radio at that time for their continued coverage of the Senate trial of the governor. So we don't have much in the way here of real estate to do much with, but we've got about 5 minutes. So I thought what we would do is roughly recap what happened this morning and talk about what we might expect this afternoon. So let's go to the Associated Press here for an account of what happened this morning. An FBI agent is the witness today. He's vouching for the accuracy of quotes contained in criminal charges filed against the governor. Agent Daniel Kane testified at the Democrats' impeachment trial and told state senators that those involved in the federal investigation were very careful to identify Blagojevich's voice when they eavesdropped on conversations. Kane testified under oath that the quotes released when Blagojevich was arrested were actually what the governor said. Those quotes include the governor saying President Barack Obama's vacant seat was valuable and wouldn't be given away for nothing. House prosecutor David Ellis walked Kane through each quote filed as part of the criminal charges against Blagojevich, and Kane confirmed that each part of the affidavit was accurate. The governor has denied any wrongdoing, and he is in New York again today. He says he hasn't ruled out legal action if he's impeached. In a New York City interview today with the Associated Press, Governor Blagojevich said he would respect, quote, the law and the Constitution and the rules if legislators vote him out of office, but he'll explore his legal options. The Democrat says he knows he soon could be out of a job, but he says he didn't do anything wrong. The Illinois Senate is expected to hear secretly made wiretaps today. Blagojevich allegedly discusses how he could benefit from his power to appoint President Barack Obama's U.S. Senate successor. Blagojevich has refused to attend the impeachment trial or mount a defense. Instead, he's been spending this week making the rounds of news and talk shows proclaiming his innocence. Lawmakers have received permission, approval to play just a few minutes of the thousands of hours of recordings they are expected to be played in the Senate today. And we expect to hear those 5 to 6 minutes of recordings with the expletives deleted. Senators were reported to be following along, reading along from packets that contained copies of the affidavit that Kane, actually he was the fellow who put that affidavit together. Dan Kane, just a piece of trivia here, is a graduate of the University of Illinois, as is the prosecutor in this case, the lawyer for the Illinois House Democrats. David Ellis is a graduate of the University of Illinois, graduated in 1990. He's also a graduate of the University of Illinois, of Northwestern University Law School, and he is a native of Downers Grove. So that's what we've got at the moment. Again, we're waiting for the Senate to reconvene. They went out today shortly before noon, and they're due back at 1:15, which is when we will rejoin Illinois Public Radio for continued coverage of the trial. And as time allows, we'll keep you abreast of news, weather, and markets as breaks in the coverage allow. You're tuned to AM 580, 90.9 FM HD2, online at will.illinois.edu. We're 3 minutes away now from continued coverage of the Senate impeachment trial of Governor Rod Blagojevich. Stay tuned.
This is live coverage of the impeachment trial of Governor Rod Blagojevich in the Illinois Senate chamber. House Bureau Chief Sean Crawford. And, Sean, it looks like they're going to resume the afternoon session pretty much on time, I gather.
It does seem that way. They are getting close to doing that. And what we will have when we start once again is a continuation of witness testimony from so far the only witness of the day, and that is Daniel Kane, a special FBI agent who has who has come to basically verify what was in the criminal complaint and what was on many of the FBI wiretaps that included the Governor Rod Blagojevich. So far today, we've heard Agent Kane talk about many of the conversations picked up that included discussions about the U.S. Senate seat, the vacancy that the Illinois had after Barack Obama left to become president, and then also some other details as well. We are expecting today to hear a portion of FBI wiretaps later this afternoon once Agent Kane is done with his testimony. So we will resume the Senate impeachment trial, day number two, the afternoon session.
Before we get to our last topics, I would like to address one issue. Both Senator Hayne and Senator Hendon yesterday asked me about evidence that would be, I guess we would say, favorable to the governor. I think the word was exculpatory. I would prefer not to use that word particularly, because that's a legal term of art, but certainly any evidence that would be viewed as favorable to the governor. And I did commit to him at that time, to both of those senators, that I would try to point those things out. Certainly with regard to Aliotta and Joseph Carey, for example, we have included not just their direct testimony at trial, but their cross-examination. With regard to this affidavit, there are a few places in here that I think one could argue there is information favorable to the governor. I'm going to go to those paragraphs now, and I just want to make clear, I am not going to ask Agent Kane or Mr. Walsh from the U.S. Attorney's Office to make any characterization of these. It's my characterization, mine, that these are probably favorable to the governor. I don't want Mr. Kane or anyone else commenting on the evidence. So all I will ask Mr. Kane is the same question I've been asking him: was this information truthful at the time you signed the affidavit? First, I would like to turn to page 11, and this is paragraph 21, and we are at footnote 4. Now, for context, this is where we are talking about Mr. Atta and the fact that he was asked for additional money from Tony Rezko before he got his appointment at the IFA. I'm going to read to you now footnote 4. Page 11, paragraph 21, footnote 4. Rezko, whose reliability has yet to be fully determined, has confirmed to the government in proffer sessions the essence of Atta's testimony regarding Atta's meeting with Rod Blagojevich, but has a different recollection regarding the timing and chronology of certain events, and only recalls asking Atta for one $25,000 check for Rod Blagojevich. Rezko's proffers have been substantial but are not complete, and government's efforts to fact-check and corroborate Rezko's proffered information are not yet complete. Rezko has proffered with the government in hopes of receiving a recommendation from the government for a reduced sentence. During the proffer sessions, Rezko at times has provided accounts that differ from those of other witnesses, including Atta. But in broad terms, Rezko's account incriminates Rod Blagojevich in a pay-to-play criminal scheme. Because the government is not yet satisfied that Rezko's accounts are full and complete, the government is not relying on Rezko's account for probable cause. The government simply notes that while Rezko's account varies at times from those of other witnesses, Rezko's account of Rod Blagojevich's activity, on balance, would add to the probable cause set forth herein, not subtract. Where Rezko's proffered recollection differs significantly from those of witnesses upon whose testimony the government is relying, this affidavit notes those differences. Agent Kane, again, without characterizing this at all, is this footnote 4, was this footnote 4 true and accurate to the best of your knowledge at the time you signed this affidavit?
Yes, it was.
Okay. I'd next like to turn to paragraph 58 on pages 30 and 31, I believe. Yes, sir. I'm still on that, Your Honor. I've got four paragraphs I want to reference. Two of them I've already read, so I'll just note them. This is the only other one I have not read, sir. Thank you for that clarification. So, paragraph 58, page 31, footnote 15. Now, I'm sorry, page 31, if I didn't say that. Now, this is an area that we did not cover dealing with Stuart Levine, but we did not present this evidence, but I just want to note that this affidavit does point things out when necessary. Paragraph, or footnote 15, Rezko has proffered that it was Kelly who informed Rod Blagojevich about the circumstances of Rosenberg's Capri allocation. As described below, numerous phone conversations have been intercepted in which Rod Blagojevich engages in ongoing criminal conduct. But during certain of these conversations, including those of a clear criminal nature, Rod Blagojevich denies his involvement in illegal activity, including involvement in illegal activity with Rezko or in relation to the Capri transaction. Agent Kane, was that footnote 15 true and accurate to the best of your knowledge at the time you signed this affidavit?
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you. I would just point to two other paragraphs, and I've already read them. I won't waste anyone's time by reading them again. But I would note that at the on page 71, paragraph 115, now that's a very long paragraph, but I'm really referring to the second sentence. It's at the bottom of page 71. And it says, in these conversations, he, being the governor, has repeatedly discussed the attributes of potential candidates, including, among other things, the candidate's ability to benefit the state of Illinois. So these are conversations that he is having about the Senate seat. I think that could at least be considered favorable to the governor. Finally, on page 55, paragraph 88, this again is something we already read, and I would direct your attention. It's a very long sentence, but the fourth line from the bottom is where we talk about there were some conversations not included where the governor discusses considerations for the Senate seat other than financial gain for Rod Blagojevich and his family. And I appreciate Your Honor's indulgence. That's just a little house cleaning I wanted to do. I wanted to make sure we pointed out as much as we could after making that commitment to Senators Hain and Hendon. Now I'd like to move to the final area that we're going to be covering with you, Agent Kane. We just finished before the break talking about Ali Atta and Joseph Carey and the Health Facilities Planning Board, and that was all under a category that you had listed in the affidavit as efforts to obtain campaign contributions in exchange for official acts. Turning your attention now to paragraph 59 of the affidavit, which is found on page 31. We are now talking here in B1, evidence concerning efforts to obtain campaign contributions in exchange for official acts. But as noted above that, this is for activities after October 2008. So these will be the activities that will be captured by federal wiretaps and intercepted conversations. So turning your attention, Agent Kane and the members, to page 31, paragraph 59. Since October 2008, the FBI has conducted multiple interviews with Individual A, who is an associate of Rod Blagojevich and has assisted in campaign fundraising for Rod Blagojevich. Individual A has advised agents that he or she has been present for and participated in multiple conversations with Rod Blagojevich in recent months regarding campaign fundraising. According to Individual A, Rod Blagojevich and Fundraiser A, who is the chairman of Friends of Blagojevich, are making a strong push to raise campaign funds before a new state ethics law goes into effect on January 1, 2009, that will prohibit any individual or entity with existing state contracts of more than $50,000 from contributing to entities like Friends of Blagojevich. Agent Kane, was that paragraph true and accurate to the best of your knowledge when you signed this affidavit?
Yes, it was.
Okay. Going to paragraph 60 on page 32. In response to questions posed by agents, Individual A has described efforts by Rod Blagojevich and Fundraiser A to obtain campaign contributions from state contractors by the end of the year. Specifically, Individual A advised that Rod Blagojevich is seeking a total of approximately $2.5 million in campaign contributions by the end of the year, principally from or through individuals identified on a list maintained by Friends of Blagojevich. The FBI has obtained a copy of that list, which identifies individuals and entities targeted for campaign contributions, as well as the amounts sought from those individuals and entities. A comparison of the names and entities on that list with information available from public sources and FBI investigative files, reflects that numerous of the individuals and entities on that list have state contracts or have received public benefits conferred by Rod Blagojevich, such as appointments to positions in state government. Agent Kane, was paragraph 60 true and accurate to the best of your knowledge at the time you executed this affidavit?
Yes.
All right, I'm now going to turn to the allegations. We have to jump around a bit here relating to the tollway project. Paragraph 63 on page 33 is where we'll begin. According to Individual A, after Individual B had left a meeting on October 6, 2008, Rod Blagojevich told Individual A that he was going to make an upcoming announcement concerning a $1.8 billion project involving the Tollway Authority. Rod Blagojevich told Individual A that Lobbyist 1 was going to approach Highway Contractor 1 to ask for $500,000 for Friends of Blagojevich. Rod Blagojevich told Individual A that, quote, "I could have made a larger announcement, but wanted to see how they perform by the end of the year. If they don't perform, blank them." Close quote. According to Individual A, he or she believed that Rod Blagojevich was telling Individual A that Rod Blagojevich expected Highway Contractor 1 to raise $500,000 in contributions to Friends of Blagojevich, and that Rod Blagojevich is willing to commit additional state money to the tollway project, but is waiting to see how much money Highway Contractor raises for Friends of Blagojevich. Agent Kane, was paragraph 63 true and accurate to the best of your knowledge at the time you executed this affidavit?
Yes, it was.
Moving to paragraph 64 on page 34. A search of public information available on the internet reflects that Highway Contractor 1 is an officer of a company that is a large supplier of concrete in the state of Illinois. The search also reflected that Highway Contractor 1 is active in one of the largest trade associations, the American Concrete Pavement Association, in the road building industry in the state of Illinois. In addition, I am aware from public sources that on October 15, 2008, Rod Blagojevich announced a plan to have new express lanes built on the Illinois Tollway in the next few years at a cost of $1.8 billion. Agent Kane, was paragraph 64 true and accurate to the best of your knowledge at the time you executed this affidavit?
Yes.
Okay. I'm now going to jump to paragraph 67, and which includes a 67A. It's page 35. On October 22, 2008, the FBI intercepted, pursuant to a court order, portions of a meeting held in a conference room at the Friends of Blagojevich's office. The meeting was attended by Rod Blagojevich, fundraiser A, and two lobbyists actively involved in fundraising for Friends of Blagojevich. FBI special agents have listened to a recording of the meeting. The voices on the recording are very low and at times are difficult to hear. However, based on a review of the recording, FBI agents were able to determine the following. At approximately 10:15 a.m., and consistent with phone records, Rod Blagojevich called Highway Contractor 1. Only Rod Blagojevich's portion of the phone call can be heard. The call started with Rod Blagojevich saying hello to Mr. Highway Contractor and noting that Rod Blagojevich was excited about the, quote, tollway, believed to be a reference to Rod Blagojevich's recent announcement of $1.8 billion in Illinois tollway funding that will benefit Highway Contractor 1 and the trade association with which he's affiliated. Rod Blagojevich talked about speaking with Individual C. Individual C is a former member of the U.S. House of Representatives who is believed to be attempting to assist Rod Blagojevich in passing a capital bill worth billions of dollars that would benefit Highway Contractor 1 and the trade association with which he's affiliated, and began, in the context of asking Highway Contractor 1 to do fundraising, to discuss fundraising rule changes that will take effect on January 1, 2009. The conversation ended with Rod Blagojevich stating to Highway Contractor 1, "Call me if you need anything." Agent Kane, was that paragraph true and accurate at the time you executed your affidavit to the best of your knowledge?
Yes, it was.
Thank you. I'd now like to discuss the topic of pediatric care reimbursements. And I'm going to direct the Senate's and your attention, Mr. Kane, to paragraph 65 on page 34. I told you we have to jump around just a bit here. Paragraph 65. According to Individual A, on October 8, 2008, during a discussion of fundraising from various individuals and entities, the discussion turned to Children's Memorial Hospital, and Rod Blagojevich told Individual A words to the effect of, quote, I'm going to do $8 million for them. I want to get Hospital Executive 1 for 50. Individual A understood this to be a reference to a desire to obtain a $50,000 campaign contribution from Hospital Executive 1, the Chief Executive Officer of Children's Memorial Hospital. Individual A said that he or she understood Rod Blagojevich's reference to $8 million to relate to his recent commitment to obtain for Children's Memorial Hospital $8 million in state funds through some type of pediatric care reimbursement. As described in further detail below, intercepted phone conversations between Rod Blagojevich and others indicate that Rod Blagojevich is contemplating rescinding his commitment of state funds to benefit Children's Memorial Hospital because Hospital Executive 1 has not made a recent campaign contribution to Rod Blagojevich. I am now going to ask everyone to jump to paragraph 68. Oh, I'm sorry. Mr. Kane, the paragraph that I just read to you, sir, was that paragraph true and accurate to the best of your knowledge at the time you executed the affidavit?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. I'm now going to ask the members to turn to page 37, which is paragraph 68, subpart A. Page 37, little a. On the morning of November 12, 2008, Rod Blagojevich talked to fundraiser A. During the course of the conversation, which principally concerned the status of campaign fundraising efforts, fundraiser A told Rod Blagojevich that fundraiser A had never heard from Hospital Executive 1. Fundraiser A said, quote, I've left three messages there, so I'm going to quit calling. I feel stupid now, close quote. Rod Blagojevich asked when the most recent call was, and fundraiser A replied that it was 2 days ago. Rod Blagojevich said that, quote, if they don't get back to you, then last resort is, I'll call. That portion of the paragraph, 68A, that I just read to you, Agent Kane, was that portion true and accurate to the best of your knowledge at the time you signed this affidavit?
Yes, it was.
Okay. I'm going to go to 68B now, staying on the date of November 12th, but later that day. Later on November 12, 2008, at approximately 2:14 p.m., Rod Blagojevich spoke with Deputy Governor A, a deputy governor of the state of Illinois. The following exchange began the conversation. Rod Blagojevich, the pediatric doctors, the reimbursement, has that gone out yet, or is that still on hold? Deputy Governor A, the rate increase? Rod Blagojevich, yeah. Deputy Governor A, it's January 1. Rod Blagojevich, and we have total discretion over it? Deputy Governor A, yep. Rod Blagojevich, we could pull it back if we needed to. Budgetary concerns, right? Deputy Governor A, we sure could, yep. Rod Blagojevich, okay, that's good to know. Actually, I can just keep going down this paragraph. So let's go to paragraph 68C now. And then I'll ask you one question for all of these, Agent Kane. Paragraph 68C. On November 12th, at approximately 8:26 p.m., fundraiser A called Rod Blagojevich and reported the status of fundraising efforts. During the conversation, Rod Blagojevich instructed fundraiser A to call lobbyist 1 the following day and ask lobbyist 1 what to do about the fact that Hospital Executive 1 is not calling fundraiser A back, and inquire whether it was possible that Individual A had instructed Hospital Executive 1 not to call back. See paragraph 65. Rod Blagojevich asked, quote, what do we do with this guy? Hospital 1. And finally, 68D. On November 13th, at approximately 10:05 a.m., Rod Blagojevich talked with fundraiser A. The discussion concerned the status of fundraising efforts. During this call, Rod Blagojevich asked about Highway Contractor 1. Fundraiser A stated that Lobbyist 1 is still working with Highway Contractor 1. Fundraiser A also advised Rod Blagojevich that he will be meeting Lobbyist 2 to meet with an individual at Weiss Memorial Hospital. Rod Blagojevich states, quote, yeah, now be real careful there. I mean, the FBI went to see Lobbyist 2. You understand? Close quote. Fundraiser A also said that he had a call into Individual A and that Fundraiser A will talk to Individual A about Hospital Executive 1. I believe we now need to jump to page 41, which is subpart G of paragraph 68. On November 14th, Rod Blagojevich talked to Fundraiser A. During the conversation, Fundraiser A told Rod Blagojevich that he had spoken with Individual A and that Rod Blagojevich needed to call Hospital Executive 1. Rod Blagojevich said that he would call him. Agent Kane, the portions of paragraph 68 that I've read to you, or let's just make this easier, all of paragraph 68, was the information contained in paragraph 68 true and accurate to the best of your knowledge at the time you signed this affidavit?
Yes, it was.
Okay. Okay, we have one topic left dealing with the horse racing bill, and we will have a tape for that as well. Let me, before I get to a few questions on that, Agent Kane, let me ask you two very general questions about this entire affidavit. At the time you executed this affidavit, was all of the information contained in here, whether I've read it to you today or not, was all of the information contained in this affidavit true and accurate to the best of your knowledge and belief?
Yes, it was.
And for each and every statement in this affidavit that is attributed to the governor, was the governor's voice identified using the voice identification procedures you described earlier?
Yes.
Okay. I'd like to move to the final topic then. First, I believe that members have in their packet the bill status for House Bill 4758, the horse racing impact fee legislation, which will show that the bill was passed on November 24th of 2000. As far as the affidavit, I'm going to turn everyone's attention to paragraph 68E, and that is on page 39. 68E. Page 39, and I believe you've already said this was true and accurate, so maybe I can even avoid having to ask you that, Agent Kane. And just for context, the previous paragraph, subpart D, talks about a November 13th, 2008 conversation. So the date is November 13th. This is before the signing of the horse racing legislation when it was still being lobbied. 68E, page 39. Also during this call, Rod Blagojevich and Fundraiser A spoke about efforts to raise funds from two other individuals before the end of the year. Fundraiser A advised Rod Blagojevich that with respect to one of these individuals, Contributor 1, Lobbyist 1 had informed Fundraiser A that Contributor 1 was, quote, good for it, but that Lobbyist 1 was, quote, going to talk with you, Rod Blagojevich, about some sensitivities legislatively tonight when he sees you with regard to timing of all this. Rod Blagojevich asked, quote, right, before the end of the year, though, right? Fundraiser A responded affirmatively. Later in the conversation, Rod Blagojevich stated that he knows Lobbyist 1 is, quote, down there, Springfield, Illinois, with Contractor 1, quote, pushing a bill. In a series of calls since that time, it became clear that the bill Lobbyist 1 is interested in is in the office of the governor awaiting Rod Blagojevich's signature. The bill, which is believed to be a law which involves directing a percentage of casino revenue to the horse racing industry, is expected to be signed as soon as next week. In a call on December 3rd, Lobbyist 1 advised Rod Blagojevich that Lobbyist 1 had a private conversation with Contributor 1 about the contribution or commitment Contributor 1 had not yet made, and advised Contributor 1, quote, look, there is a concern that there is going to be some skittishness if your bill gets signed because of the timeliness of your commitment, close quote, and made clear that the contribution, quote, got to be in now, close quote. Rod Blagojevich commented to lobbyist one, good, and good job. In a call the next day, lobbyist one asked Rod Blagojevich to call contributor one, quote, just to say hello. I'm working on the timing of this thing, but it's going to get done. Lobbyist one suggested that it is better for Rod Blagojevich to make the call personally, quote, from a pressure point of view, close quote. Rod Blagojevich stated that he would call contributor one and indicate that Rod Blagojevich wanted to do an event or fundraiser downstate, quote, so we can get together and start picking some dates to do a bill signing. Lobbyist one assured Rod Blagojevich that contributor one would be good for the donation because lobbyist one, quote, got in his face, close quote. So just for the record, agent, was that this passage I just read true and accurate at the time you signed this affidavit to the best of your knowledge?
Yes, it was.
Your Honor, at this time, it would be my intention to play the tapes that we have entered into evidence, as well as to pass out to the members of the Senate a transcript of that tape, if it pleases, Your Honor.
You can proceed as you wish at this point.
Thank you, sir. Then we would ask that the transcripts be passed out. Play the tape first. Okay. Maybe I had the chronology mixed up. I guess what we will first do is, if it pleases the court, I think what we'd like to do is play it first, pass out the transcripts, and play it a second time. That would be our intention. So I'm sorry I kind of jumbled that the first time, if that's okay with Your Honor.
Well, we're right on the edge of okay at this point.
If I could introduce the each one of these tapes, first of all. For the record, this first phone call, this is a phone call from the wiretap of Rod Blagojevich's home. The parties to the conversation are Rod Blagojevich and Robert Blagojevich. If you could play the first.
He says Johnny Johnson's good for it.
Okay.
He's going to give you, no, he didn't get it, but he said, you know, I'm good for it. I had to just decide what accounts to get it out of. And Ron's going to talk to you about some sensitivities legislatively tonight when he sees you with regard to timing of all of this.
Right, before the end of the year, though, right?
Oh, yeah. So there was no waffling there. It's just a, you know, we just got to figure it out and... So he'll give you the specific details.
Okay, he's going to be there tonight, right?
He's going with you. Basketball game?
Yeah, with
the... Yeah, he knew it was United Center. Wasn't sure what the venue was, but good.
Okay, so, but clearly before the end of the year, right?
Yeah.
He's down there right now with him lobbying on a bill.
He was with him last night, and he's still down there.
Yeah, they're pushing a bill, so that's probably what he's going to wait on.
Well, whatever. I mean, I think that's probably likely. He didn't get into detail with me.
We'll now turn to the second phone call on this tape, which is taken from an intercept of the cellular telephone of Lobbyist One. This is a conversation between Lobbyist One and John Johnston.
Hello, John. How are you?
Juan.
Good. How are you? Checking in.
I didn't know you called.
Oh yeah, I left a message earlier today.
Yeah. Where are you right now?
I'm at the track.
Can I come see you?
Can you come see me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll be there probably about 45 minutes.
Okay.
See you.
Okay, so that phone call we just heard took place on December 3rd, 2008, at the hour of 2:21 p.m. I'd now like to turn to the third tape. This is, again, from the intercept of Lobbyist One's cellular telephone. It takes place on the same day, December 3rd, at the hour of 4:11 p.m. The parties to the call are Rod Blagojevich and Lobbyist One.
Hey, it's Ron.
Hold on.
Is Rod there?
Yeah, they're both here. Hold on.
Thanks.
Hey, Ron.
Hey. So, I'm just leaving there. And I talked to him about commitment. He goes, and I said, two separate conversations. What about your commitment? He goes, Lon, I have to leave in 2 weeks, and I'm going to be gone for 2 weeks. I know that I have to have this in your hand by the end of those 2 weeks. And I said, look, there's a concern that there's going to be some skittishness if your bill gets signed because of the timeliness of the commitment. He said, absolutely not. I mean, do you want me to put some in the next quarter? I said, no. That's not my point. My point is, this has all got to be in now. He goes, I'm hopefully going to have it next week, but you have my commitment. I've always been there. I'm going to be there. And I've got to have it in the next 2 weeks because I'm going out of town.
Good.
And the reason it took so long is that Billy came in and started talking about George Steinbrenner, and not about the bill so much, but just about his illness and all that. And I didn't want to have that conversation in front of Billy.
Yeah, I know. Good job. Hey,
okay, and the fourth conversation occurs the following day, December 4th at 9:09 a.m., and the parties to the conversation, this is again an intercepted conversation from the cellular telephone of Lobbyist One. The parties are Rod Blagojevich and Lobbyist One.
Hey, Lon.
How are you?
Good.
Yeah. So one thing I was thinking about last night is that you ought to give, not today, but maybe tomorrow, just give John Johnson a call and say, you know, call in just to say hello. You know, I'm working on the timing of this thing, but it's going to get done.
Okay.
It's a 2-minute conversation.
Yeah, happy to do it. Call him tomorrow, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Call Johnny Johnson or should I call Ed Harris call him? I mean, you want me to call him directly, I will. I mean, whatever's the best thing. I'm just a little bit...
I think it's better if you do it.
Okay.
It's better if you do it just from a pressure point of view.
Yeah, good. I'll call him and say, yeah, and we want to do an event downstate. We want to do it, and we hope to do this. We can get together and start picking some dates to do a set bill sign. Right.
Okay. So, what are the chances, based on my conversation with you yesterday, that this gets done next week?
You know, they're good.
Okay.
I mean,
I'm telling you, he's going to be good for it. I got this space.
Okay. So. I know. I feel like there's somebody else who's holding him back.
No.
I believe it's Chris.
No. No.
Well, a whole year. You know what I mean? Hey, Lon.
No, I don't think he's been talking to Chris.
Thank you very much, and I guess at this point we would hand out transcripts of these intercepted conversations, and really it's the pleasure of the body. I don't need to play these again, Your Honor.
Do you believe that it will help the senators understand what the conversation was?
I think it might be helpful for them to follow along with the transcript.
Yes, if you wish to do it, you can.
Okay, thank you very much. So we'll hand those out now, if we could.
Sean, while they're passing out the transcripts, and apparently they're going to replay those tapes again, give us a little context into how these recordings are significant. And there was nothing bleeped out of these tapes.
Well, anything, and again, these were redacted phone conversations.
Okay.
And we'll move back
into
the trial.
At this point, rather than play them again, we will just rest with the transcripts. I think that'll be our decision. And I have no further questions for Mr. Cain. Thank you very much, Mr. Cain. Thank you.
Oh, I'm sorry. Mr. Cain, you are not excused. You are not. I'm sorry. I got to it. Per Senate Resolution 7, the governor or his counsel has the right to conduct cross-examination of this witness. However, as neither the governor nor the counsel on his behalf have appeared, there can be no cross-examination. Therefore, we will proceed directly to taking written questions from the senators regarding the testimony of the witness. President Cullerton, for what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. Chief Justice. I would ask that we have a Democratic caucus for the purpose of formulating questions to ask the witness.
Senator Redonio, for what purpose do you rise?
Thank you. I would request similarly a Republican caucus to formulate questions.
1 hour. Mr. Cullerton.
We should be able to be back here at 2:30.
Agreeable to you, Senator?
No, I think we need an hour. He said 35 minutes.
In the talk, that shouldn't take that long.
Yeah. We'll give you all to 2:45. Senate will stand in recess.
Okay, they're going to take a break now, Sean. Almost an hour, I guess. They're going to resume the trial session at 2:45, at which time Republicans and Democrats in the Senate will submit written questions to FBI agent Daniel Cain. That's my understanding of what's going to transpire.
That's correct, and we did get to hear the tapes. That is the first time, actually the only time that we have.
This is WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD2 and HD3 Urbana. It's 1:53. The impeachment trial of Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich is underway. It is in its second day. We will rejoin Illinois Public Radio for continued coverage at around about 2:45 this afternoon. In the meantime, we'll bring you settlement prices and the closing market report, as well as news from National Public Radio that's coming up at 1 minute past the hour of 2 o'clock. Joining me now with settlement prices from the Chicago Board of Trade in Kansas City. And Todd, you also going to do the livestock numbers for us
today?
Indeed
I am. I'll take you right through all of those numbers. Here's the way they settled in Chicago. Celeste, in the wheat pit, nearby soft red winter wheat contract had a settlement price 7.75 lower today, a high price at 601, a low at 580, settlement price at $5.84.75 a bushel, down 7.75 on the afternoon. May futures 6.13 1/4 the high, the low at 593.75, settlement price at 597.5, down 7.75, and July wheat 6.22 the high, low at 605.25, settlement price at 609, down 7.25, and September futures 6.43.75 the high, low at $6.28, settlement price at $6.32, down 6.5 cents. And December futures, $6.66 the high, low at $6.49 1/4, settlement price at $6.53, down 7.25 for December wheat. Corn pit now, March contract, $3.96 1/4 the high in Chicago, the low at $3.76 3/4, settlement price from the CME group at $3.77.5, down 16.25, and the May futures, $4.07 the high, low at $3.87 3/4, settlement price at $3.88.5, down 16.25. July corn, $4.17 3/4 the high, the low at $3.98.5, settlement price at $3.99 1/4, down 16 cents. In September futures, $4.28 the high, Low at $4.10. Settlement price at $4.09.5, down 16.25. December contract from the corn pit, $4.41. The high, the low at $22.5. Settlement price at $4.23, down 16 cents in the March corn for 2010, $4.52. The high, the low at $38. Settlement price 16 cents lower at $4.36 a bushel. March oat futures 212, down 3 cents today. May futures at 221 and 1/2, down 3 as well. March soybean futures 1017 and a quarter, the high, the low at 973. Settlement price at 976, down 33. May futures 1024, the high, low at 980. Settlement price at 983 and 3 quarters, down 33. And July soybean futures 1031 and a quarter, the high, the low at 989. Settlement price there, 991 and 3 quarters, down 32 and a quarter in the August contract. 1015, the high, the low at 983 and 3 quarters. Settlement price at 985 and a half, down 29 cents. September, 968 and a quarter, the high, the low at 57 and a quarter. Settlement price at $9.61, down 21. For the November soybeans, a 10 cent loss, 952 the high, the low at 913. Settlement price, Nov beans down a dime at $9.35 and a half a bushel. March bean meal, 308.60, the settlement price down 770. May bean meal down 740 at $308.40. March bean oil, 32.77, the high, the settlement price rather, down a buck, and the May bean oil down a dollar as well at 33.14. Over on the CME Group's livestock side, nearby February live cattle for the day had a high of 82.32 and a half, a low at $81 and a nickel, settled at 81.27 and a half, down a dollar 7.5. The April futures at 85.65 for their high, low at 84.20, settlement price 84.40, down a dollar 20. June live cattle futures 83.65, the high, the low at 82.25, settlement price 82.30, down a buck 52 and a half. And the August contract down $1.37.5. Settlement price for the August live cattle at $83.05, with a high of 84.37.5, a low at 82.95. August live cattle settled $83.05, down $1.37.5. Feeder cattle now, January contract. The only green on the screen, up 35 cents, $94.20, the high, the low at $93.85. Settlement price for the January feeders, $94.10, 35 higher. The March on out were lower, $91.75, the high, the low at $90.10. Settlement price at $90.27.5, down a buck 45. The April futures for the feeder cattle, $92.72.5, the high, low at $91.30. Settlement price, $91.52.5, down $1.07.5. And the May contract, $94.45, the high, the low at $93.20. Settlement price, $93.20, down $1.30. February lean hog futures, loss of $2.25 in the lead option contract today. $57.40, the high, the low at $55.70. Settlement price at $55.75, down $2.25. Lead option lean hogs, the February contract settled $55.75. April futures, $62.15, the high, the low at $60.60. Settlement price at $60.70, 100 weight, down $2.07.5. And the May futures, $73.50, the high, the low at $71.60. Settlement price at $71.92.5, down $2.02.5. And June futures, $74.25, the high, the low at $72.90. Settlement price, $73.20, down a buck 70. Frozen bellies finished the nearby February contract at $79.25, down $1.35. The March at $79.47.5, down $1.37.5. I'll return at 6 after the hour of 2 o'clock. That's just about, 7 minutes away now. During the closing market report, we'll talk with Wayne Nelson, L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana, and Mike Wolverton of K-State University has a lot to say about it, the ag energy markets this afternoon. We'll discuss that at about 25. After the hour of 2, during the closing market report today, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
This is WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD2 and HD3 Urbana, the broadcasting service of the College of Media at Illinois. Good afternoon. I'm Celeste Quinn. Our technical director is Jason Croft. At 2 o'clock, it's 19 degrees in Urbana. Winter weather advisory is in effect for the southeastern portion of central Illinois through tonight and for the central third of Indiana until tomorrow morning. Winter storm warning is in effect for portions.